There are claims that sound conciliatory but do something else entirely. They borrow shared language to imply shared belief, and in the process replace clarity with confusion. Lately, a version of that claim has been making the rounds from figures like Tucker Carlson, Muhammad Hijab, Linda Sarsour, Cenk Uygur, and others. Islam loves Jesus. It is not a theological statement. It is a rhetorical construction. And it is almost always deployed in a very specific context, alongside attacks on Israel and exaggerated or invented claims about the persecution of Israeli Christians. While those same people remain conspicuously silent about the conditions facing Christians under authoritarian Islamist regimes across the Middle East and Africa. Given the sensitivity of the subject, some basic clarity is in order. Yes, Islam speaks of Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam in the Quran. But the issue is not whether the name appears. The issue is whether the identity is the same. It is not. The Jesus of the New Testament is the Son of God, crucified and resurrected, the foundation of Christian theology. The Jesus described in the Quran is explicitly not divine, not the Son of God, and was not crucified. The central claims of Christianity about who Jesus is are not merely absent in Islamic theology, they are directly rejected. The Gospels are explicit about Jesus' identity. He is called King of the Jews, Mark chapter 15 verse 26. In John chapter 4 verse 22, Jesus himself states plainly, salvation is from the Jews. His life, ministry, and death are rooted in Judea, within the Jewish world of the Roman-occupied Second Temple period. Under Islamic doctrine, that identity is reinterpreted and reframed entirely. Jesus is not only stripped of divinity, he is also recast as a prophet within an Islamic framework, understood as having preached submission to Allah. In other words, he is retroactively recast as a Muslim. And when these same political commentators, like Cenk Uygur, point out that Jesus plays a role in Islamic eschatology, they tend to omit the rest. That in the traditional Islamic narrative, Jesus returns not to affirm Christianity, but to expressly reject it, to literally break the cross, correct Christian doctrine, and establish Islamic monotheism. That is not a minor theological difference. It is a dividing line. So, when commentators like Tucker Carlson and Cenk Uygur tell Christian audiences that Islam loves Jesus, without qualification, they are not building understanding. They are substituting a shared word for a shared meaning that does not exist. On its own, that might be dismissed as a well-meaning oversimplification. But in context, it becomes something more deliberate and more designed to mislead. Because this claim rarely appears alone, it is almost always paired with two additional materially false claims. First, that Israel persecutes Christians. And second, that Islamic societies, particularly authoritarian ones aligned against the West or Israel, are more respectful of Christians. That pairing is not accidental. It is narrative construction, and it depends heavily on what gets left out. For example, in Iran, converting from Islam to Christianity carries severe legal consequences. In parts of Iraq and Syria, ancient Christian communities have been devastated over the past two decades by sectarian violence and Islamist movements. In Nigeria, Christian populations face sustained attacks from jihadist groups. These are not obscure claims. They are documented realities, and the pattern is broader than any one country. Over the past century, the Christian population across much of the Middle East and North Africa has collapsed, dropping from roughly 25% of the region to a small fraction of that today. In country after country, Egypt, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Christian communities have faced discrimination, violence, legal inequality, and, in many cases, mass emigration. Under traditional Islamic legal frameworks, Christians, like Jews, were often treated as dhimmis, second-class subjects, required to pay special taxes and restricted in legal standing. In some contemporary systems, religious courts or laws still place limits on conversion, testimony, and public religious expression. None of this unfortunate reality appears in the rhetoric of those claiming that Islam loves Jesus. Even Carlson's oft-cited example of Qatar follows the same pattern under scrutiny. Yes, a few churches exist in Qatar, but only within designated compounds, under state-imposed restrictions. Public proselytizing is prohibited. Conversion from Islam is illegal. Religious life operates within clearly defined limits. And the Christian population there? Almost entirely foreign labor. People who cannot become citizens, no matter how long they stay. That is not equality. It is permission, granted, managed, and very revocable. Now compare that to Israel. In Israel, the Christian population is not disappearing, it is growing. Christians worship openly, run institutions freely, and participate fully in public life. There are literally hundreds of churches. Conversion to and from any faith is legal and protected. Public expression of Christian faith is unrestricted. Christians in Israel have among the highest levels of educational attainment and income in the country. They have served in senior roles across society, including the judiciary and major financial institutions. That does not mean Israel is perfect. No country is. But the attempt to portray it as uniquely hostile to Christians, while casting authoritarian Islamist countries as models of respect, requires a sustained inversion of reality. Which brings us back to the original claim. Islam loves Jesus, is not being offered by advocates like Tucker Carlson as neutral theology. And it is certainly not part of a genuine effort at interfaith respect or understanding. It is message framing. It's a framing that dishonestly softens the image of authoritarian regimes and movements where Christians often live under persecution and pressure, while sharpening criticism of Israel on terms that rely on confusion, omission, outright lies combined with the hope that their audiences won't look too closely. Real respect, between religions and toward audiences, requires far more than that. It requires acknowledging that Christianity and Islam make fundamentally different claims about Jesus. It requires confronting the lived reality of Christian communities across different societies. And it requires resisting the urge to compress those realities into slogans that serve a political purpose. Christians in the West do not need to be told comforting half-truths. They need clarity about what is believed, and honesty about how those beliefs are lived. Anything less isn't respect, it's misinformation and misdirection. Micah Danzig served in the Israeli army and is a former police officer with the NYPD. He is currently an attorney and is very active with numerous Jewish and pro-Israel organizations, including Stand With Us and the FIDF, and is a national board member of Harut North America.